The Five Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Ministry Grid, an online video-based training resource for all the leaders and volunteers at your church. To learn more and to get a two-week free trial, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks. That's ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Hey, and welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I am your host, Barnabas Piper, here as usual with Todd Adkins.
What?
That was quality, Todd. You nailed it.
Thank you.
You nailed that one. Todd is the director of leadership here at Lifeway Christian Resources. So our team puts together the leadership development resources, events, web content, podcasts, all that stuff so that your church and your organization can have most of it for free, to be honest.
I know.
We sell some of it.
We do.
But we also really want to develop leaders, so free content is on the money.
Yes.
I don't know if you can have free stuff on the money, but...
You can.
All right. Here we go. So lifeway.com/leadership is our site. You can find the podcast there. You can find blogs there. You can find webinars there. You can find the free ebook that Todd put together called Developing Your Leadership Pipeline.
It's gold.
There. You can find all sorts of stuff at lifeway.com/leadership. Go check that out. Want to highlight our sponsor, which is Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Yes.
We are excited to have them sponsoring the podcast. If you are not familiar with Southeastern, go back and listen to the episodes featuring Dr. Danny Aiken and Bruce Ashford, two separate episodes from the first few months of the podcast. So you'd have to scroll back a little ways considering we're at about episode, whatever, 115, 120, 125, wherever we are right now. But those will give you a good sense of the quality of Southeastern leadership and the purpose of their mission,
absolutely,
which is Great Commission, making disciples, those kinds of things. But the one thing we really wanted to highlight on their behalf today is their preview day, which is September 29th, 2016, so just a few weeks from now. At preview days, you can come in, you can sit in on classes, you can have a dinner with faculty, have meals with faculty, you can tour their campus. It's in Wake Forest, North Carolina, which is beautiful. It costs $20, so very affordable, and you can really get to dig into sort of the ethos of Southeastern, which is a school who Lifeway has a lot of overlap with, a lot of partnerships with. We have a number of their grads who work here and many, many great connections with them. So we strongly encourage you to do that. You can find out more at sebts.edu/5LQ. And I know that's a lot of letters, so I'll repeat it slowly. sebts.edu/5LQ. Also, you can look in our show notes and find that link there. So go check out that preview day, September 29th at Southeastern Seminary, and we really appreciate their sponsorship. But Todd pointed out before we started recording, there's a touch of irony in today's episode.
Slight.
Because our guest today,
Shane Blackshear,
is better known as...
The seminary dropout.
So to have a seminary sponsoring the podcast...
I think he went twice. Maybe.
He dropped out twice.
Maybe he should go to the preview day.
Yeah,
maybe he was just going to the wrong seminary.
And he lives in Austin, Texas, where he's a podcaster of the Seminary Dropout Podcast, which means he could take advantage of Southeastern's distance education options, of which there are many. maybe he wouldn't have to drop out this time.
That's true. He could stay in Austin, eat Gordo's donuts.
Oh, and so many delicious piles of brisket.
Oh.
Okay, we're not podcasting about Austin. We're talking about Shane Blackshear. We actually already recorded the episode, so this intro is more of a teaser than anything, because we had a great conversation with him, a lot of it about podcasting, about content creation, about starting your own thing, and also maybe starting something before you're ready to start it in some cases. He had some great insights on that. It was a really engaging conversation. You will very much enjoy this podcast. For more information on Shane, go to seminarydropout.com. His podcast is a lot like ours in that he gets to interview really
great
interesting
guests.
People. So he's not just focused on leadership. He has theologians on and ministry leaders and business leaders and cultural leaders.
Without putting words into his mouth, what I picked up and I mentioned in the podcast is it's almost like theological formation in the wild.
Yeah.
Versus formal. That's his penchant.
He said his tagline, a new tagline that he has sort of realized is the nature of the podcast is good theology should be for everybody. So he said he wants to take it from the top shelf and put it on a shelf where everybody can reach it. So that's really the gist of what he is about. You will very much enjoy this podcast. So thank you to Southeastern for sponsoring. Thank you to Shane for being our guest. Now, here is the Five Leadership Questions podcast. Today, we're here with Shane Blackshear. As you heard during the intro, he is the host of the Seminary Dropout podcast. And Shane, we're really excited to talk with you today. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I'm super excited to be here.
Absolutely. And it's fun to talk to another podcaster because you understand.
Podcasters kind of, unite.
That's right. Well, you understand the nature of the nature of the medium, I guess, is probably an easy way to put it. And the all the limitations and all of the funness.
I gotta admit, I'm slightly intimidated, and Barnabas probably is too, because we're looking at a man that has an incredible beard, and neither of us can really grow facial hair.
I've learned not to be intimidated or to hide it really well. I can't grow facial hair, so nothing I can do about that.
Just embrace the skin. It's okay.
That's right. Yeah. The baby face. I still get ID'd at R-rated movies, so 33
could be
years
worse,
old.
Man. Yeah.
Well, Shane, why don't we jump into our first question, and that is, who are you learning from right now?
Oh gosh, who am I learning from right now? Usually, the answer to that question is always who I am interviewing or about to interview. Most of my guests on my podcast are authors. And so that means I'm reading a lot. So lately, I've been learning.
Can I interrupt real quick and just say thank you? As somebody who has authored, it's wonderful to be interviewed by somebody who actually pays attention to the book instead of just doing canned questions. So thank you.
You're welcome. You know, actually, like, that was kind of part of when I started out. You know, I didn't have a lot of connections. I didn't have a radio and TV background. I didn't have a lot going for me, but I just thought what I have control of is I can make sure that I do the best interviews possible. And so from the beginning, I just decided I was going to do my best to read every book or, at least read enough to be able to have an intelligent conversation about it. So that's kind of been a big part of what Seminary Dropout is about. I kind of cringe when I hear an interviewer say, "Hey, tell me about the book."
Like, that's your job. Research it.
Exactly.
Read it.
Exactly. I mean, if the guests could have like pre-recorded, you know, the complete interview and you didn't need to be there, then it's not a great interview. So to answer your question, who I'm learning from now, recently I've been learning from Chris Marlowe. He's an author and he's a founder of Help One Now, which is a fantastic organization. And I just sat down with him. He was actually in Austin. So he sat down with me in my office here and we talked about his new book, which is called Doing Good is Simple. And it's fantastic, especially for those who need kind of an on-ramp into like the justice world, how to help people and how to help people well. That's a fantastic book. So he's one that I've been learning from most recently.
And so you mentioned when you got started, you didn't have a lot of connections and everything. Can we back up a little bit and tell our listeners a little bit how you did get started? I mean, I looked into you a little bit. I Googled you, I know you have a background in ministry. I know that you are, in fact, a seminary dropout at least two times, possibly more since then. So it's not just a catchy name. It's autobiographical.
Right.
But how did you go from looks like church planting to now podcasting, blogging, sort of online, the online ministry and presence that you have now?
Sure. Well, to make a very long story short, I did plant a church. I was there for about 5 years or so, and just kind of, to put it simply, felt a release from it. Felt like my time there was done, and in fact, thought maybe that I was done with ministry. I wasn't burnt out or anything like that. I just kind of felt like this season is done and I don't really feel called to anything vocationally, ministry wise anymore. So we moved to Austin where we are now and I started a career in real estate and I got about 9 months in where I realized, this can't be everything, in my life. And I needed to have a foot in if you want to call it ministry or the, Christian spirituality world. And so started thinking, praying about what that might look like. I knew it wasn't going to be anything real traditional. I didn't feel called to be a lead pastor, and it just wasn't really feeling the call to church work. So I started kind of thinking, praying about the things that I was gifted at, what would that look like? And so originally that was a blog, and you know, my podcast is still hosted on my blog page, and every once in a while I'll write a blog post. Yeah. But, after that, it kind of evolved into this podcast. I was going to do both simultaneously, and blog and podcast, but the podcast kind of, just overcame everything else. And it seemed like that's what people were responding to more. And I think I just enjoyed it more. And so, yeah, that's a long way to tell you this story about how I got here, but yeah.
When you were blogging more, and it may have even been pre-podcast, is when I first encountered you in some of your blog posts. So that did draw readers. At least it drew me at one point. So I appreciated it, and I'm sure Todd is glad to hear that that there are people who do podcasting without blogging, because I keep begging him to blog, and he would much rather just do the podcast.
I do about eight posts a year. Maybe.
Once every 6 or 8 weeks, we can get something out of him. And it's usually drawn directly from a podcast. So,
yeah, it's pretty sad.
Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably more than I've done in the last year. And I think there's sometimes I think I would like to do it. But the thing is, you know, I have a weekly schedule for releasing this podcast. So, fitting time in there to think and formulate and write a blog post, it's difficult. Well,
especially if you're actually reading the material from your guests and not just sort of, I mean, if you do 10 minutes of show prep, you have room for other things. If you're actually deeply investing in the interview, then it's a different matter altogether.
That's right.
So what is the main point of emphasis in your leadership, in your ministry right now?
The podcast has been really exciting and life-giving for me. The name Seminary Dropout came kind of almost as a joke, and kind of but it always was a little bit of a metaphor for what the show wanted to be. It wanted to be something to kind of connect the church pew to the more academic world. One of the things that I was surprised about in seminary was how disconnected the average church was from the things we were learning in seminary, and always wondered why that was. And so, you know, Seminary Dropout kind of became this beautiful metaphor for the show. And you mentioned earlier, my original tagline was like somewhere in between youth camp and seminary at Seminary Dropout or something like that. And I like that one, but what it's kind of evolved to is the tagline, good theology should be for everyone. So, so I redid my intro a few months ago and replaced those taglines. So I love doing that. I feel like I am a seminary dropout. So I feel like I'm just smart enough to ask some questions, right? Like I can't write books like N.T. Wright or, you know, Walter Brueggemann or all these people. I feel like I just know enough to be able to ask them intelligent or semi-intelligent questions. And so, you know, if I can be, you asked, you know, where I am in ministry is, if I can just be that guy who can like take the cookies off the top shelf for everyone to enjoy, like that is an immense honor for me to be able to have some part in that.
So has your target for who listens to your podcast, has that shifted, or you thought your audience was one thing? You know, you thought your audience was pastors, and what it turned out to be is, oh no, there's a lot more people that are sitting in the pew that are listening. Like, how did you determine to make that shift?
You know, I think it kind of just happened. I kind of just thought, in the beginning, I just wanted to talk to these people. Like the kernel from where this podcast came from was, I thought, I'm always reading books and thinking, wow, I would really love to pick this person's brain. Mm-hmm. And I really love to say, you know, hey, you in your book, you said this. But this other person over here who I really respect said this, you know, how do you interact with that? How do you respond to that? So it kind of came from this just raw desire to talk to these people. And then it was kind of a while later where I took a step back and thought, oh, this is what we're doing here. Like, this is, we're doing this thing where we're making accessible these things that people didn't know before. So, excuse me. So, you know, I've done, as far as like the demographics, it's been really interesting because I almost in the beginning or after a while, I kind of thought the opposite. I thought, this is for people who don't know about this world of Christian academics. Yeah. I was kind of surprised that the people who go to seminary, who have been to seminary, who are kind of theology nerds, who really love the show as well. So it's been kind of an interesting mix for sure.
Well, it's really, I mean, as you're talking, I'm, you know, challenged, and I'm thinking more about the formal theological training, almost institutional training, versus theological formation in the wild. What the disparity is, and the lie that it cannot happen effectively in the wild. In fact, if it doesn't happen effectively in the wild, then we're toast, because it is like we're going to a zoo to look at the specimens of these, you know, theologically formed people, and everybody else gets a pass.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. People assume that I would disparage seminary, and it's not the case at all. If I had the time and resources, I would love to go back. But I will say that I know people who went to seminary who are not very schooled in theology or mm-hmm. you know, Christian history or literature or a lot of things. So, you know, I think there's a myth that if you just get that piece of paper on the wall, you have the knowledge as well. And it's just not true. And, you know, I know people who went to seminary and had great professors, and I think that's awesome. I got to sit down and have a conversation with N.T. Wright and Walter Brueggemann, and like these people that are, you know, the preeminent scholars in the New Testament and the Old Testament, and, you know, people that are like leading their field. Yeah. I feel like I've kind of put together my own seminary course through the years.
And yeah, not only did you get to have those conversations, but however many, you know, thousands of people listen to the podcast, are getting to essentially, they're sitting in on it. So while they don't get to ask the questions, you're asking on their behalf. So you are bringing that conversation to a whole bunch of people, who otherwise also, like you said, they would love to pick the brain of these theologians, but would never have the opportunity. And so you are creating that opportunity sort of secondhand, which is, I think, was one of our favorite things to do on this podcast as well, because I don't have a formal degree in leadership, but getting to do two or three
You've got a master's now.
But getting to do, two or three interviews a week with people who are doing it in all these different contexts is a major education. So, and then we get to share it with listeners and in church leadership and entrepreneurs and you know, stay-at-home moms and a whole breadth of people who eat it up. And we just sort of get to be the catalyst for it.
That's right. That's right. There's no, you know, people think you go to the formal education, they give you some kind of magic pill for it. And it's, they're all learning like we're learning. So absolutely.
Well, let's hit our third question. And it's almost like a sub question of that second one. So the second one was about point of emphasis. The third question is, what obstacles are you facing in your leadership? And I realize you have a pretty small organization. It's you.
So it's me and a microphone. Yeah,
that's right. So, I mean, maybe your obstacle is it's just you, but what are the things that are challenges for you right now?
Yeah. I mean, I think you definitely hit on it. It's me, and it's also me part-time. Sometimes people who know me only through the podcasts will ask, you know, so is this your full-time gig? And I'm like, far from it. You guys know it's very difficult to make money through podcasting. So, and it's funny because, like, I know people who know me here in Austin just personally are only vaguely aware that I have a podcast. So, you know, yeah, just doing it on the side and also trying to do it well, that's definitely a challenge for me. And it's, you know, it's my desire to maybe not podcast casting exclusively, but to make kind of content creation more of the full-time gig in this world. So, yeah.
I can think if, man, if I lived in Austin, having been to Austin several times, the biggest obstacle in my path would be food.
Sure. Sure, man.
Gordo's. It would be a couple of different hole in the walls down there that were just absolutely amazing.
And Todd doesn't even like barbecue, so he's missing out on all the good stuff.
Oh, man. Well, maybe he needs to try Austin barbecue.
Yeah. Todd has some food neuroses.
Yeah. So I've got OCD tendencies. It's really bad.
As a follow-up question, so we may nerd out on podcasting a little bit here, and that's totally fine because every person we talk to has a different emphasis, but I can't even speak.
That was awesome.
Grammar is not my emphasis. But you talked about making content creation, podcasting more of a part of what you do. And I'm sure we have a fair number of listeners who are bloggers, who are podcasters, who are trying to figure out how to hack it in the content making world, online content, video content, whatever it is. What tips would you have for those folks looking to get started in it, looking to, you know, how to kind of build that over time? Because you did it pretty, I don't know, or I don't like the word organic because it sounds a little buzzwordy, but that's kind of how you did it. You just sort of got started and grew it, and it wasn't, you know, a major entrepreneurial venture for you.
Right. Yeah. Slowly, I think, is the word you're looking for. Excruciatingly slowly.
Let's call it incrementally. That sounds better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think just from the, well, I think a few things from the beginning, being clear about what you want to do. And it doesn't mean that that mission can't evolve over time, because mine obviously has. But just being very clear about what you want to do and kind of your, what you decide your metrics of success are from the beginning. And so, and then just doing as good a job as you can. I listened to a podcast about doing podcasts for like a good 6 months before I started mine. Because I know in this world, here's the thing, especially now, there are just too many people in their basement popping open their laptop and starting a podcast today. And so if you want to stand out, it's got to be good. Like, it can't just be available anymore. It's got to be available and good now, you know? Treating it that way, and just, you know, educating yourself before you start. Yeah,
it's sort of the myth of easy. You'll hear people say, it's so easy to start a podcast, which is true from the sense of if you have a laptop and an internet connection, you can do it. But there's a big difference between it's easy to start a podcast and it's easy to do a podcast or a blog or, you know, video content or whatever that is worth people taking their time and energy and hopefully money to partake of. And I think that's kind of what I was trying to draw out is, how do you start a quality thing, not just how did you start? Because that's, you know, that's easy enough, the just starting part.
What podcast is it that you listen to about podcasts? What's the podcast about podcasts?
It's kind of evolved since then, but it's called The Podcast Answer Man. And in fact, the host he's a Christian, and I, like, when I was kind of getting started, I had him on my podcast to talk about that. But it was an excellent resource. It's kind of evolved into, you know, generally like how you succeed in the thing you're doing. But when I was listening to it, it was like really nuts and bolts. Practical. And so you can find those old episodes out there. But anyway, Cliff Ravenscraft, The Podcast Answer Man, it's a great resource.
I've heard of him. I hadn't heard of the podcast, but I've heard that name. So probably in conjunction with it.
Cliff Clavin? I love that guy. He knows everything. All right. So you know, I remember reading on your blog, I saw a picture of your Nerfus. Are you in a Nerfus right now?
No, actually, we moved in December, just a few blocks over. And the big reason for the move, the big perk was that there's an extra bedroom, which so I'm moving on up now. I've got my own home office now.
You're no longer in the nursery office.
Yeah, in the nursery office, Nerfus.
What was the worst part of the Nerfus?
The office mate.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, Opsmate was really cranky.
And defecated on himself.
Yeah. Not being able to work past like 8 p.m. was pretty rough because she had to go to bed. So that was rough.
Constantly sleeping on the job. Those infant office mates are rough.
Well, I only asked the Nerfus question because I wanted to kind of a good lead in for what does leadership in your home look like?
Man, we get it done is what it looks like. I work from home and my wife is a hospice chaplain. So she's a chaplain for a hospice agency.
That's a brutal job.
I can't imagine.
It's a calling for sure. Yeah, and one I don't have. So she does that from, you know, roughly from 9 to 5 every day. And it's not like my job. So my day job is in real estate, which is, you know, it's essentially you're your own boss. And so that affords me the ability to work from home, but she obviously can't do that. And so I watch our daughter. We have a nanny that comes in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So about 15 hours total of the work week when nanny comes in. But the other times, I'm stay at home dad or work at home dad, however you want to say it. So, it's all over the place. You know, we really try to practice mutual submission. It works for us. It really does. Like I love my life. I love that I have a job that allows me to spend so much time with our daughter. It's great.
And your daughter is young. She's toddler age. Is that right?
Yeah. She's going to turn 3 like next month.
Okay. So you still have a year or two of potentially of this kind of life pattern before she would start school and then the structure changes pretty dramatically.
Well, and actually, so I'll do you one better because we're expecting one on the way. So it's all going to start over.
It's just chaos.
Dude, you should go ahead and make the 3-year-old your co-host. And then by the time she goes into school, you'll have another co-host and you'll be ready to roll.
I'm planning on her pretty much raising the other one when it comes. That's my hope.
I'm just getting pictures of Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll make it through.
Let's hit our fifth question, and that is looking backwards. So this would have probably been before you dropped out of any seminaries. What would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead?
Oh my goodness. So here's the biggest mistake I made in leadership. As soon as I could, I helped plan a church. I had done like youth ministry and stuff like that, but I never like just sat underneath the pastor, like, you know, in a day-to-day setting. Mm-hmm. I just wish I had done that more. I wish I had, before I took on that leadership position, whether it was official or not, just find a good pastor who I felt like was doing good work and say, can I just shadow you for a while? Like, you know, maybe that'd be great if it could be, you know, something that I got paid to do. But even if not, just, hey, after hours, can I just kind of, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. But just kind of watch how you do things. That just would have been so valuable. But instead, I was just kind of trying to figure it out as I went. And I realized to a degree, we're all going to do that at some point or other. But just to be able to see how somebody who has been doing it for a while and does it well, what they do, that's definitely the advice I would have given myself.
Well, I think that's really helpful advice, especially for people in their college years and early 20s, because especially in our current age, there is sort of an expectation of go out there and start stuff. Go make things happen. And there's not a great emphasis on apprenticeship or on just active learning and submitting yourself to somebody else's expertise and authority to sponge off them for a while, which is something I think anybody in their early 20s would really benefit from. And that's not to say don't start things, but maybe do both. Or wait just a balance. Year or two.
Yeah. Find the balance, because what you had is boomer generation. I'm going to throw a bunch of generations into big boxes.
Yep. Okay? Let's stereotype. It's what we
do. Let's do that. So boomer generation, it was like pay your dues. Come in.
Yeah.
Sweep the floors. You know, do these things for 10 years and then, you know, then we'll like, you know, let you do something. Now – today, it's like, I want to come in off the street and, you know, run the joint. And so I think that there's a healthy balance that has to be struck between the two. And a lot of that is, as a young leader, the posture that you are willing to put yourself in whatever role it is that you're given. And I would say, you know, go to get, don't just go to look around, meaning whatever job you go to, whatever organization you go to, don't just go to get a job and, you know, kind of put it in neutral and collect a paycheck, even if it's that type of position. Go to get. Go look at what's going on and try to learn and be intentional about whatever job it is that you're given, even if it's something menial.
Yeah, I think that's great. Kind of what you're talking about, we're like the startup culture, right? Like you start your own thing and you get to be the CEO of that thing and run the joint, you know. But yeah, there's something just so valuable about just walking in somebody's footsteps that's done it before.
It's almost like how would you have started a podcast when you were 20 versus how you started when you started?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. There's so many experiences that I needed to have before that.
And I think it's, I would imagine one evidence of that difference is that starting a podcast when you did versus at 20, you started a podcast built around learning and asking, as opposed to a podcast built around, you know, telling and being an expert, which most 20-year-olds tend to think of themselves as being. That tends to be a weakness. Or maybe I'm just projecting myself onto all other 20-year-olds.
No, I'm so glad that we don't have recordings of my 20-year-old self.
I'm glad social media didn't exist when I was 20.
What is absolutely horrible for me, mortifying right now, is meeting people that haven't seen me for like 15 to 20 years. And having to, like, the first thing I do is apologize. I'm serious.
I'm sorry for being me 20 years ago.
So, you know, I was on camp staff with David Platt. And when I first got here, you know, we were doing some, I think it was Verge. And so I see him backstage and I'm like, David, I'm so sorry. I was such a jerk. Would you please forgive me? He's like, whoa, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, if you didn't see that, then I don't know. There's something wrong. But, you know, or you'll meet somebody. I met somebody recently who was one of our guests who I won't mention. I dated their cousin for like a year and a half. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, please tell her and her family that I'm not a jerk. I promise. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I think back from like scenes will flash in my head from when my friends and I were pastors at this church when I was 23 years old. And I'm just horrified at the things that I said and did. And yeah, I mean, grace all around.
It is. Yeah. And it is amazing. And this has come up on the podcast periodically where we have sort of poked fun at like the 20-year-old youth minister or whatever, which both of us were at one point.
Definitely.
But also realizing that those are experiences that God does use to shape and develop people. So there's a sense in which you need to be humble and learn, but also a sense in which God uses our kind of foolish audacity to shape us in different ways too. So it's but I don't think that's the aspiration. I think the aspiration is to learn, not to be foolishly audacious.
Trying to learn from others' mistakes.
Good word.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you joining us on the podcast, Shane. It's appreciate your time, your candor, and your willingness to dig into this. So thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, man, it's been so good to sit down with you. I love what you guys are doing and that you ask great questions. So I'm honored to be on the show.
Absolutely. And for listeners, go to seminarydropout.com. You can see the lengthy list of guests that Shane has had the chance to interview. And it is widely varied. There are scholars and authors and people in ministry and people in business leadership and just kind of across the board. And so if what he has said today intrigues you and piques your interest at all, go to seminarydropout.com and just sample some of those podcasts. There's some great interviews there. And thanks so much for listening to us. And we really appreciate your time, your commitment to this podcast, and tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Remember, you can get a free 2-week trial of Ministry Grid at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Try it out and see how it can help you develop leaders at your church.